sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Fairfax, Virginia. For more information about Bethlehem, visit our website at blclife.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Friends, I'm so glad you're here this morning on the second Sunday of Christmas, this first Sunday of 2021. Happy New Year. I'd like to reintroduce the Gospel of John today by sharing five ideas for you to watch for in John's Gospel from now on. It's a good Sunday to take notes, maybe. I just want to share some thoughts, and hopefully you'll hear some good news in the midst of all this. As some of you know, our Sunday readings in church, our lectionary, is organized into 3 years, year A, year B, year C, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, respectively. We just began the new year B of the year of Mark on the first Sunday of Advent. That was November 29th, just a few weeks ago. Do you remember that? New Year's Day, I called it, for the church year. So, most of our gospel readings this year, then, will be from the Gospel of Mark, and I'm excited to do some comparative study of the Gospels in Bible study this winter and spring season. And so today, at the dawning of a new calendar year, I really wanted to look with you at the Gospel of John, because maybe you caught this, there is no year of John. Why? Because John is different. John is deeply woven into all three lectionary years, actually. We'll have a whole season, actually, just this year, where we only read from John's Gospel. We'll be in Mark soon enough, and for the whole year. So let's spend some time with John today, starting at the very beginning. That was our text today, John chapter 1. After all, one Johannine scholar, that is one Gospel of John scholar, said that everything you need to know about John is in the first chapter. You need to understand that the Gospel of John is on a different plane. It's in a different orbit than the other three Gospels, and we're in John world today. So just a quick overarching image, if it's helpful. John's really like this mystic. I imagine him like a mystical French poet. I've joked that if you ever read John, you should do it with a French accent. I don't believe John wrote the Gospel. I believe that he painted it with vibrant, rich Parisian colors. If you've ever been to Paris, you know it's so beautiful there. And that's the Gospel of John. All these extravagant eccentrics, these vivid images and words, and all of it only leads us to the most glorious message of unrelenting divine love, pointing us faithfully to this incarnate Christ Jesus, our Savior, the Word made flesh. John's Gospel is ineffable. The traditional medieval image for the Gospel of John is the eagle. And Martin Luther said that John soars the highest in its view of Christ. That is, Christ is God's own self, come down to our pain-filled world. We have an Advent devotion by Dietrich Bonhoeffer entitled God in the Manger. That's very Johannine perspective. God in the manger, God's own self come down to our pain-filled world. In the United States, of course, the eagle is a symbol of freedom, and that certainly is fitting here too, but remember that in the Middle Ages, that the symbol of the eagle, it was believed to be the only animal that could look directly at and actually fly to the sun. The Gospel of John, more than any other book of the Bible, describes God's deep incarnation and love in such extreme cosmic terms. It's too hard to put into words, really, ineffable. So the artists and the musicians and the poets and the dancers among us must be convened. Gospel of John. So idea number one, John is about experiencing God, not simply talking about God or telling stories about Jesus. It's about experiencing. Just because you can't quite describe it with language doesn't mean you can't reach it. In fact, the opposite, it reaches you. That is to know God's grace and God's love in the Gospel of John. It reaches you. It's one thing to hear the good news in church. It's another to be lavished with a delicious meal, warm bath, a soft robe, a glass of wine, the embrace and the friendship of a dear friend. That's Gospel of John stuff. In the Gospel of John, we see foot washing, we see oils, we see wine and water gushing. Can you smell it? Can you taste it? Can you feel it? There's this tactile, incarnational quality to John's witness. The images always point us to extravagant grace, beauty, and truth. Extravagant grace, beauty, and truth. God abides, God dwells. That's language that always is like a clue that it might be the Gospel of John. Abide, dwell. Moves into the neighborhood is how Gene Peterson translates that. The word became flesh and moved into the neighborhood. There's this fleshy flesh quality. Okay, that's point number one, or idea number one. Two, it's pretty cryptic. John is pretty cryptic. John was written in the late first, probably the early second century. So Christians were under persecution. And this community that was gathering around this writing, this gospel text, was a small, tightly knit group, deeply spiritual, and therefore had lots of insider language. Indeed, Jesus' statements in John often seem pretty cryptic. You'll see that this year, and you've seen it before, I'm sure. This doesn't mean that John is trying to be exclusive. It's just that outsiders simply can't understand it. They just don't get it. One has to be brought in from the darkness of night, from the shadows of ignorance, into the light of truth. That's real Johannine kind of language. From not knowing to knowing God. Knowing God is a major theme in John. Jesus says in John, come and see. Being brought in. We see this in places in our own lives. I think we can relate stories of being brought into the light of understanding. An example for me is just being a parent, being a father. You can sort of understand it on one level before you're actually a father, but that's nothing like when you're brought into the light of understanding and you just see, now I get it, okay? It's like that for the early Christians and sort of understanding, like experiencing God. Idea number three, John's whole purpose was to strengthen the community with words that bear eternal life and love. That's a quote from my New Testament professor, David Rhodes. The very relationship Jesus has with God, we see in the Gospel of John, which is intimate, loving, deep, it's offered freely for you and for me too. And this changes everything. This is salvific. That's huge. Try to wrap your head around that. The relationship that Jesus has with God, this intimate, loving, deep relationship, is offered freely for you and for me too. That's that I and me and we and they. And that's that language in John. It's almost like going in circles. Your head is spinning. But what that's saying is that as the Father is in me, I am in you, and we are together, one in the Spirit. See how it's just so mystical? He's like, what? John's gospel guides us into this relationship, dripping with abundant love and grace. Think about that Beatles song, Love, Love, Love. Think about that Beatles song on both Christmas Day and Good Friday. Jesus on the cross in John's gospel is love, love, love. That's why we read John on Good Friday. And on Christmas Day, think that song. There's no infant stories. There's no baby Jesus stories in the gospel of John. It's just this radiant light, grace abounding, love, love, love overflowing. And then in the text in chapter 1 of John, we launch into John the Baptist pointing us to this love, to this radiance, to this light that is Christ, to the Word made flesh. Fourth idea for John's gospel, everything is sacramental. Interestingly, there's no Last Supper. There's no Passover in John. There's a Passover, but that's actually on Good Friday. Jesus is the Passover lamb. They do share a meal in the Gospel of John where Jesus sheds light. There's that light. Jesus sheds light and washes their feet the day before the Passover and tells them, big surprise, to love one another In this way, John opens all creation up to becoming a cornucopia of images that bear the love and divine mark of God. Drinking water, talking late at night, celebrating at a wedding, everybody eating, shepherding, gardening, these are all things happening in the Gospel of John. Everyday stuff, everything bears love and the divine mark of God. Do you see all things as sacred, friends? Or is it just the churchy stuff that's sacred, that's holy? Do you see the God made manifest in Jesus overflowing in, say, the cooing of an infant, in the well wishes of Christmas cards from distant family, in walking your dog, or the incredible smell of fresh fruit, strawberries, or a hot tub, or pain in your belly from laughing until you cried? The list can go on and on. All of it sacrament, sacramental, holy. Fifth idea, Jesus is God. Jesus is God. This truth, one may argue, can be a little more vague in the other Gospels, but John hammers home Jesus' absolute divinity. And this God from God, light from light, that's from the Nicene Creed, it's come to dwell with and love us. This God has come to dwell with and love us. Even now, even today in 2021, it's a different kind of Christmas message. It's not as scratchy and rustic as and local as Luke's version. John's gospel, on the other hand, is smooth and ethereal and mysterious, like incense or a candle flame or a glorious high-flying eagle or a sunrise sky. And whether you identify with this gospel or not, it's all just God's way of trying to get through to us. Don't appreciate it in John's cosmic, esoteric terms? Then how about Luke's gritty on the ground version of a poor teenage immigrant, outsider mother, smelly stable, farmers with calloused hands, sheep herders with alcohol in their breath? That's Luke. Maybe that's too scratchy for you. How about in the more geopolitical dynamics of international rulers and astrologists traversing the great deserts and resisting the bully, immature, filthy rich King Herod, who liked to put his name on everything, in order to pay homage? They did all that, they traversed all that, in order to pay homage to the true king with their gold and their frankincense and their myrrh. That's the Gospel of Matthew. Maybe that's more your speed. Or let's learn together, actually, this new year, about God's grace trying to reach us through Mark's gospel. See, all of these gospels, all God's angling this way and that to get the message across that we are loved, that you are loved, and that you are not in this life by yourself. God makes a way and gets this grace and peace and social justice and righteousness and forgiveness and love through to us. See it, hear it, feel it, taste it, friends, in Christ. Mercy is ours. Love has come. Mercy is here. All we can do, like the shepherds and the wise men and the disciples, all we can do is adore the brilliance that shines in the darkness, the Word that is made flesh. All we can do is celebrate Christmas in spirit and in truth, deep in our hearts, with our whole bodies and how we love and treat one another in God's earth. All we can do is praise God. My favorite German mystic poet, Rilke, I know I'm fond of quoting him. Rilke puts it like this, and I conclude. Praise, my dear ones. Let us disappear into praising. Nothing belongs to us. Amen.
On behalf of all of us at Bethlehem Lutheran Church, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon. And to learn more about our national church body, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day. Evangelical? That was terrible. To learn more about our national church body...
Start over.
Okay.
Is that hard?
No, not really.
Pretty easy?
Yeah.
You're good at it.